In order to understand Jesus fully, it's essential to get a better grasp of the Jewish scriptures. Jesus himself was a Jew, his mother Mary. Without a doubt, one of the most significant people in the Jewish scripture was Moses. Moses goes up the mountain and he sees God face to face. Moses goes up the mountain, comes down with the tablet, the Ten Commandments. Moses, leading the people, Pharaoh, let my people go. And particularly with Moses, the instruction was the Passover event. Moses told the people that each household was to take a lamb on a particular day, particular night. They were to take the lamb, slit the throat of the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, wipe it on the doorposts of their house, and then they had to eat the flesh of the lamb. And if they did that, if they wiped the blood and they ate the flesh of the lamb, their household would be saved. The angel of death would pass over from them. And Moses would be the one who would lead the people from slavery to the promised land. Now, this piece that we hear is they're right on the edge of the promised land, and he's reminding them. And he's going to say something that that crowd there and all the devout Jews throughout the ages wrestle with. A prophet like me will the Lord God raise up for you, your own kin. Listen to him. So here's Moses, who's the most significant, saying there's one going to come after you. You're going to listen to him. And centuries later, Jesus. Jesus who said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus who said, I'll give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus, the one who poured out his blood and saved us. The one, when we gather for the Eucharist, we eat the flesh of the Lamb. And the one who leads us from slavery towards our eternal homeland. This gift of faith, so helpful to keep growing in our grasp of the Jewish scriptures, that we can come to a complete reassurance of what life in Christ looks like. The psalmist assumes that when we hear God's heart, that voice of the Spirit whispering to us, at times our hearts are hardened. We resist it. Not always, but sometimes. St. Paul, he planted many churches, but this place of the Corinth, again, probably 250,000 people there in that area, Corinth, when Paul was there. But yet there was a small nucleus of believers, household believers, maybe 50, 70 people. Paul had written them this letter, and then after a period of time, they wrote a letter back to him. And they had questions, and they wanted clarification. Some of their questions had to do with the Lord's Supper. But this part of the letter that he's responding to them with, their questions are all about marriage. Whether it's better to marry or not to marry. And Paul, in his response to them, and that's what we hear here, he comes right to the point of it. He says, it's really not so much about whether you're married or whether you're not. But what's most important, I don't want to impose a restraint upon you, but adherence to the Lord without distraction. Like adherence to the Lord's will, not my will. Adherence to the Lord's, that the Lord's possession of my heart, not adherence to my own desire for more possessions. As if to say, Nobody more important than your in your life than the love of the Lord. St. Paul, like David the psalmist, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let's receive Paul's words. Let's just stay within this gospel reading and last Sunday. It's the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. In Mark's gospel, there's no Christmas story. There's no sheep or shepherds, none of that. Jesus is a grown man. He enters into Galilee. And then his first words, this is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then the word is repent and believe the good news. That Greek word, repent, is metanoite. Meta, change. Noia is mind. We are to continuously change our mind. As St. Paul would eventually say, he'd say, put on the mind of Christ. In another place to the Romans, he says, don't conform yourself to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind so that you might discern what is good and pleasing and holy to God. Don't forget, God is more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. So learning to trust that and giving God, like, if I hear your voice, harden not my heart. I want to trust you. And then, immediately thereafter, is the calling of the disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John. And they were fishermen. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm not going to make you more holy. He didn't say that. He didn't say I'll give you more self-control, right? It's that invitation of, for me, I was once a fish, fish follow, and followers fish. Like somebody caught you. Somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody by their own witness, by their own way of life, by their own walk, by their own, that sense of God's great love and care and delight. And then we want to follow. It's as simple as each day waking up praying, lead me where you need me. It's that prayer of not my will, but your will. And then, so the first piece is about allowing God, giving God permission to change our mind. Then it's that whole continued piece of being on the lookout, how you and your own witness and your own walk can encourage, can invite, can give testimony to drawing people to this love of God. And then the third piece is where we're at today. It's interesting, his first miracle in the Gospel of Mark occurs in the synagogue amidst church folk. Amidst the church folk. That's us. And it was the unclean spirit in the church folk, that's all of us. And what did the man say? Have you come to destroy us? The work of the evil one, the work of the unclean spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us, absolutely, but the unclean spirit is continuously at work. And the activity, the task of the unclean spirit, if you can pay attention to what you're thinking about, the unclean spirit, okay, the task of the unclean spirit is to divide, to scatter, to scatter our thoughts, to just get us distracted. Sometimes he flatters us with our own, good job, you're in church today. Sometimes he plants lies, the evil one. God's disappointed in you. God's frustrated. No, the evil one scatters. It's like St. Paul says it later. The good I want to do, I don't do. But I do that which I don't want to do. Who will save me from this? The scattered mind, the divided mind. That's what it is to be in relationship with Christ. That's why we cry out, if today I hear your voice, harden not my heart, Lord. Lord, I give you permission to change my mind. And what does Jesus? Quiet. as we find ourselves at times scattered and divided. Can we just pause? Call out the name of Jesus. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And that invitation is there, friends. God's more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. It's not enough to follow. Followers fish. And might we just rest in how St. Paul would say it as well? Adherence to the Lord without distraction. Once again, as we come to the Eucharist, two things. And as you bow before the Lord, be mindful, give thanks, call to mind and call to your heart those people who have planted that gift of faith within you. And in a prayer of great thanks, thank you, Lord, for the gift of my mom, my dad, my grandparents, my neighbor, whatever it was. And number two, where's the resistance in your heart this morning? Pay attention to the tension. And just offer that to the Lord. Place that. Like, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart.